Good morning, friends. How are we doing? Good, good. Listen, you know, I'm from the Middle East, and I'll tell you what, I want to move back. It is so hot here. What is going on? Has anybody else wondered this? Like, what? What's happening? Someone turn off the AC in the world. Like, come on. Global warming, I guess, is a thing. Guess it's a thing. But hey, if you are here and it's your first time, welcome to summer at Mosaic. And so here's the deal with Mosaic. We've got a lot of people who visit in the summer as well. And we've got some really cool things happening this summer. In fact, you know, like BJ was talking about, newcomers. Love to meet you guys if I haven't met you. But also at Mosaic in the summer, what we do is we do these talks that are not related to a series. Like sometimes we do a series that are based on several talks. But in the summer, we're just doing different talks, different speakers. And it's great. Like Pastor Mike talked about, he spoke last week, did a great job. And so we're just kind of doing that for the summer. Also in the summer, what we have is we got these block parties. Again, BJ mentioned those. Any of you visited a block party? Anybody hung out at a block party? A couple of people? Okay, great, great, great. We got four more left as well. A lot of people in the earlier service as well have been to one. But here's the cool thing in block parties. You get to build relationships, you know, get to know people. And so that's why we do this. We've been doing this for a couple of years now. But one of the questions that always at a block party I kind of ask, and in fact, it might be a question that I ask, I might have asked all of you, okay? I might have, okay? It's one of those things, it always happens in the foyer or anywhere in the party, even anywhere. And here's the question. You guys don't want to know the question? Question? Okay, all right. Here's the question. Where are you from? Anybody ever asked that question? Where are you from? Where are you from? Where are you from? Where are you from? Now, why do we ask that question? Okay, so for some of us, it's like one of those things like, you don't know what else to ask. You don't know what to say. You're like, so where are you from? Where are you from? Now, I like asking that question because I like to know, but when people ask me that, I don't like it. I don't like to answer that question because if you ask me, some of you guys have asked me this, hey, where are you from? Or some people who don't know me, they're like, where are you from? And I go, where am I from? And I just stop for a second, and they're confused. They're like, you don't know where you're from? Like, what is wrong with you? You don't know? You don't know? And I'm like, yeah, but do you want to know where I'm from or where I'm from? And where I'm from? And they're like, I know, some people just go, dude, I'm just making small talk. I don't care. Like, I'm going to forget. Like, but then I go, where am I from? Where am I? Who am I? Where am I from? Because if you ask me where I'm from, I say, well, I'm from South Carolina because we're not from Charlotte. Oh, next level though. But I didn't grow up in Charleston, South Carolina, and then moved here. And actually, where I'm from is actually Kuwait. I was born and raised in Kuwait. And they're like, oh, you're Arab. I'm like, no, but actually, where I'm from is. My parents are Pakistani, and they moved to Kuwait, and I was born and raised there. So I'm actually from where? Like, I don't know. Like, Kuwait? Pakistan? Charlotte? I don't know where I'm from. I don't know where I'm from. What's interesting about that is it's like I had some friends come, and they have not been in the States, or I would say we haven't hung out. I'll just say this. We haven't hung out for about 30 years. Like, I met them when I was, they were our neighbors in Kuwait. One of them I met, like, when I was in, like, middle school, like, 10 years old or so. But anyways, grew up with them, and then they came and visited last week. And it was really amazing to spend so much, just share so much memories, you know? Because we've known each other for so long, decades. And we started talking about stories. And so they lived in Kuwait, just like I did, but they stayed there. And then I moved to the States, and they recently moved to Thailand. And I was like, oh, that's cool. And I said, why would you guys move there? And one of the guys, Nadim, not Naeem, but Nadim, anyways, he's Indian, but he's a Muslim guy. And he was like, yeah, he said, you know, you grow up in Kuwait, but you know, you can never own anything there. Like, I don't know if you guys know this, but like in Kuwait, if you're born there, you're not from there. Like, as in, you don't own anything there. Like, you can live there, and they call you a pseudo citizen, but you're not really a citizen. You're kind of a resident alien, if you guys know that term. Any immigrants in the house, you guys know that, right? Yes, yes. Okay, you're a resident alien. You don't get to own anything. And so Nadim was telling me, he's like, I've spent, 30 years there and I can't own anything. Like Dubai is different, because you can buy anything in Dubai for $2 billion. But anyways, you can still buy stuff in Dubai, but not in Kuwait. They don't give you that. And he said, I just wanted to leave because, I know I've lived there my whole life, but I can't really own anything there. See, the truth is that that's really similar to what we're facing here in this world. You see, we are citizens of a different world. In fact, let me read you another passage of scripture. Let's put that on, Tammy. Would you do that? Yeah, thank you. So it says here, remember, you don't belong in this world. You are what? Resident aliens living in, again, what? In exile. So resist. Resist those desires of the flesh that battle against your soul. That last phrase is not talking about necessarily sin. It's just talking about, hey, don't think that you own anything here. Don't think that even though that you get to live in this particular world, you're actually from it. Don't think you're going to own anything. Don't think that you're going to be able to settle. You'll always, always not be from there. You're never going to have true citizenship. You're never going to own this world. You're not from this world. You're an exile. You're passing through. You're a resident alien in this world. And so I just want us to remember or remind ourselves that in the midst of us looking around, all the kingdoms being built, all the rulers of this world, all kings and presidents and countries and governments who are trying to build these huge empires of the earth, as big as they're making them, and some of us are involved because I have friends who are politicians. They're building that. In the middle of all of that, just remember, I know you kind of, you were born on earth, but you're not from there. I was born in Kuwait, but I'm not from there. It doesn't own me, and it doesn't give me any ownership. It's not making me one of its own. Now, it's a very interesting concept because I need you to understand, and I think remind myself that in the midst of us living our lives, building our lives, building our world, building our families, building our homes, our careers, in the middle of all that, just remember, even though you were born in this world, you are what? Not from it. You're not from it. You get no citizenship. You get no rights. You get nothing. You're here as a resident what? Alien. That's it. And for some of us, you're like, I don't like that because I've built all kinds of empires. I've built all kinds of business and it's good to do all those things. But at the end of the day, it'll deport you. It'll kick you out because it hasn't adopted you. It doesn't call you one of its own. And the reason is it's not the world's fault. It's just that. You and I, humans, we're not made for this world. So if you find yourself going, how can I live my spirituality, live the kind of life I want to live, be the kind of person that I want to be, and then also deal with all the other stuff out there, with this rise of these empires and people and egos, with this rise of people thinking that they can justify prejudice all day long, or they can rule over certain groups of people, and that there are certain groups of humanity that they're not on the same level as others. Like, how does the world justify that? And if you find yourself just being anxious, fearful, just know the problem is that you're not from here. And that's why it doesn't make sense. Have you ever read the news recently and thought, what is going on? What is happening in this world? Why does it not connect? Why is it that we can't make sense of what's going on? Like, why is there so much pain and sorrow? Why is there so much injustice? Like so much. Sometimes I just want to shut off the news. And you can't really do that, right? You can't. You have to engage in the world. How do we do that? How do we do that? And so I just want to tell us, or say this for our church here. And this might be the start of the direction where we want to go. And I talked to our volunteer team this morning about this too, and is I really want us to be this sanctuary. I want our church, our spaces to be a refuge. I want us to be a place where in the as a nation going to go through something that's pretty intense, very much emotional, and there's all kinds of views out there. And the beautiful thing about Mosaic is that we have very different views here because we have very different people here. And I love that. I think it's a beautiful thing to have diversity of thought and belief. Only when it's united in deep love. If it's not, then it's over. If I can't respect you because I disagree with you, there's a problem with me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I gotta respect you. I gotta respect you because we cannot treat people based on their opinions. If I treat my kids based on their opinions, you're like, that's what I do. No, okay, stop doing that. You know why? Because their opinions will what? Change. So you gotta validate their, you know, them. Their opinions are them sometimes. And people's opinions are them. And I have judged people based on their opinions about certain things. See, that's what this verse is talking about. It says here, let's put it up again. It says here, don't resist. It says, resist the desires of the flesh. What does that mean? It's not talking about, don't do all these things that satisfy you. It says, don't allow yourself to be caught up in this pattern of this world. Don't treat people like everybody else treats people. Be different. And so, what does that look like? What does it mean for us to be citizens of a different world? I think the one thing we have to understand is, number one, is that there are empires, there are kingdoms being built all around us. And like I said, some of us are part of that, right? But then there's a kingdom being built inside of us. So there's kingdoms being built around us, and there's a kingdom being developed within us. That's the kingdom that God is focused upon. When Jesus stepped into the scene, you know, I don't know how you got introduced to Jesus and how you were told the story of why he died. But friends, there's no doubt about it that his death, besides being very much prophetic and spiritual, it was extremely political. They killed him for a reason, and it was definitely a lot to do with politics as well. Because when Jesus stepped into the scene, the Jewish people were wanting a ruler, a king, to rescue them out of the Roman Empire. And for so long, he had not just power and mastery of words, but he had supernatural abilities. And so he was like, this is it. And then they started calling him the king of what? The Jews. He never called himself that. They started giving him a political name because Caesar was king, and they started calling Jesus is king. And so there was a lot of things that are happening there. But Jesus, time and time again, would not engage full on. He would engage in the injustice of society, but he would not go and even share a meal with, or not share a meal, but he would not go into politics. In fact, he refused at one point to actually go and go to a political conversation. The reason is because Jesus was focused on not building a kingdom around him, but developing and building a kingdom inside of us. So here's what Jesus says. Let me read this to you. Luke 17 says, the kingdom of God, he talks about. He said, the kingdom of God does not come in such a way that has to be seen. Well, no one will say, look, here it is. Here it is. Or there it is. Because what? The kingdom of God is what? Is within you. He goes on, and Matthew writes this down. He says, Jesus said once, he says, seek the kingdom of God above what? All else. Live righteously. Like, live right. Do the right thing. And he'll give you everything you need. So here Jesus is saying, like, in the middle of you being anxious, in the middle of you being confused of like, what do I do and how do I vote? And do I need to be fired up about this? Do I need to be angry about this, sad about this? What do I need to do? Who do I need to engage? Do I need to protest? What do I need? What do we do? See, I'm not quite sure if this passage of scripture tells us what to do, which, by the way, I don't want to use scripture to support any political position. But I do know what the scripture is saying, and that is that there is a difference between what? Between seeking God's kingdom above all else versus building the empires of this earth above all else. That there is a difference about to that. That there is a in one sense, like a posture to how we live. And that is like, I'm seeking to build God's kingdom within me. Like there is something that is in me that I need to get to. So think of it this way, you know, in the world, what it looks like is like, you know, we need to climb up the biggest, to the top, right? We climb the ladder of what? Success, right? That is the kingdom of this world. That's how empires are built. You get on top. The goal is to get on top. You climb up top. And so if you can picture a climber going up top, the kingdom of heaven is the opposite. The kingdom of heaven is you rappel down. You go down within. You don't go up. And so that's why the teachings of Jesus are always about what's going on inside of you though. Let's rappel down to your soul. Let's talk about, you want to be great. Let's be, how can you be the least? How do you go down? What's really going on inside? What is your deep motivation? And see, friends, if there's nothing else you get here, the kingdom of heaven is really about rappelling down to your soul and developing what God is speaking to you and saying about you. Because when you rappel down, you find out where you're from. You find out the citizenship that you really have. You realize that it's not climbing to the top. And I'm not saying, let's not go for it. I mean, I have got the personality that says, let's go for it. But rappelling down reminds me, I'm not from here. I'm not from here. And I'm building a kingdom that I'm going to live in, and it starts inside. Why? Because the kingdom of God is what? Within what? Us. It's within you. So what, friends, what does it look like? I think it looks like, let me just give you this. It looks like us kind of revisiting, reminding ourselves about kind of our citizenship. The fact that we are resident aliens. Like, what are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to know? What are we supposed to focus on? So let me give you two things, okay? Number one, as a resident alien, we get certain what? Rights. You know in citizenship, right? We get certain rights. We get rights all the time. We get rights. There's privilege to those rights, right? As a American citizen, there is a power that comes with that too. I remember talking to someone about traveling abroad without an American passport. How many of you have ever done that? Yes. It's a different world. Now, if you've never experienced that, God bless you. That's awesome. If you haven't gone through customs without an American passport, oh my goodness. Whoo! We can tell you stories. I remember one person talking to me about this idea of privilege. And they're like, you know, we don't have privilege. You know, I don't have privilege. And I was like, yeah, you do have privilege. And she's like, no, I don't have privilege. I was like, have you ever gone through customs as a foreigner? You got privilege. Every country, every citizenship, every passport holder gives you a certain kind of privilege. It just does. It just does. Depending on where you are, you get certain privilege. Okay, if you're in the Middle East, guess what? I got more privilege than you guys do. Or at least most of you. Because I look Arab. And I can just pretend. I'm not from there, but I can look it. And some of us, you can't. So what does the kingdom of heaven look like when it comes to our rights? What do we get? We get certain privilege and certain power. Now, I want us to remind us of that because when It's so easy when you have so much privilege, you can't see it. Because it's just the way you live. It's just who you are. Man, it's good to stop and go, hold on. Oh, wow. I didn't know that I had this much privilege. I did not know that. See, I mean, like, just let's talk about this. We have so many ethnicities here. I mean, the fact that we have, I don't want to categorize, but let's just go with black, brown, and white, okay? When you were born white, you walk around white, you never have to get up and say, okay, I'm brown now or whatever. I mean, you grew up white. If you grew up brown, you grew up brown. If you grew up black, you grew up black. You can't change those things. And for some reason, somehow, we don't understand that not in the kingdom of heaven, but the kingdom of this world, they treat people differently depending on skin tone. You just, for some reason, you just do. It's not just an American thing, by the way, friends. It's also a world thing. Like the shade of my brown affects me in Pakistan. The shade of my brown. Like, am I brown brown? Or am I light brown? Like, they will treat me differently. The world wants to do that. What does God say? God says is that in this kingdom, I want you to be reminded of a certain kind of privilege you have, all of you. And here's what it says. Let me read you this passage. It's pretty interesting. It says in Ephesians 2, it says, even when we were dead and doomed in our many sins, He united us into the very life of Christ and saved us by His wonderful, help me out, what's that word? Grace. Friends, as a resident alien living in this world, not from here, we have the privilege, we have a right for some reason to grace. It is a powerful privilege to us. He says He's raised us up with Christ, this grace. He says it's raised us up with Christ, the exalted one. And we what? Ascended with Him into the glorious perfection and the authority of heavenly realms. We are now what? Co-seated as one with Christ. Like, I think like when I think of all the worry and all the stuff in my life, and when I think of all the sin and just the brokenness in me, when I think of all the shame and guilt that I wrestle with, when I read something like that, it blows my mind. It doesn't make sense to me, because here it says, hey, let me just tell you, you have been given this grace that exalted you, not because of who you are, but it's for God adopted you, for God chose you, and He ascended you. You are now sitting with Him. You've been exalted with Him. This is a powerful privilege that you have. And so other people can live their lives with shame and guilt and remorse, but you and I don't have to. The world, the culture around us, the outside, just our lives can tell us who we are, but we don't have to live that way. Like, we don't have to be those people that everybody else wants us to be. We don't have to do any of that. We don't. We have this privilege, which is grace. And friends, grace is not a permission to do less. Grace is not like, hey, I'm riding the grace train. Ha ha, sorry, God. It's not that. Grace is actually a privilege to be more. It's power to be more. Grace says, hey, you're not perfect, but you can be better. Grace says, hey, I know you really messed up here, but I believe in your potential. I believe in who you are. I believe who you are becoming, and I'm not just going to judge you based on who you are, but who you could be. It's grace. God says, I'm giving you that. So let's just remind ourselves that this kingdom that we're supposed to build inside of us and around us is about that. But it's also about power. It's about power. Check this out, 1 Peter. By the way, there's a lot of scriptures here, okay? So if you haven't read your Bible recently, you're gonna get it. Okay. 1 Peter says this, I love this one. It says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people who are God's, help me out with this one, because this is a great phrase. It says who are God's what? own possession. Think about that. You're God's own possession. Like this world, the kingdoms of this world will not count you as their own, but God says, like, you're mine. You're my possession. You're my possession. He says, you have become this people so that you may speak the wonderful acts of the one who called you out of darkness into his amazing light. Once you weren't a people. You weren't a people. But now you are what? God's people. Once you hadn't received mercy, but now you've received mercy. Dear friends, he says, since you are what? Immigrants and what? Strangers in the world, I urge you to avoid worldly desires that rage war against your lives. He says, hey, friends, can I remind you? You live in a world that didn't give you mercy or grace. It didn't adopt you. It didn't make you its own. You weren't a people. You didn't have mercy. You didn't have this. But now you do. Like he's you're part of his kingdom. He has ownership. He's called you. Because he believes that you can live a particular kind of life. A particular kind of life. So that's why as resident aliens, we just don't have rights. But my second point would be is, as a resident alien, you have certain what? Responsibilities. You and I have a responsibility to live, to love, to even liberate like Jesus. We have a responsibility to actually act like, live like we belong to a different world. You know, I don't know about you, but because I'm from different places in the world, I end up like not losing myself on who really I am, you know? Well, I remember when we first started Mosaic and when we came to Charlotte, people would just assume that I'm Latino, right? I was Latino. And I got to be honest, I love the Latino, Latin culture. So I was like, yeah, I'm Latino. You know, I wouldn't say that I am. I'm like, yeah, hey. I don't know what I'm saying. I'm just like doing this. I don't know. And they're like, oh, you know, like there's just kind of like this idea that I could look like, pretend like them. And whenever we go different places and there's Latin speaking people or Spanish speaking people, they'll look at me and they'll start talking. And I'm like, I'm so sorry, I don't speak it. And this has happened before. Ashley speaks Spanish, I don't. I look it, she speaks it. We come together, it's a good thing, you know. But at restaurants, it's tough sometimes because they'll look at me, and sometimes, you know, if we're in Mexico or something like that, you know, they'll look at me, and then I go, no habla, you know, español. And they look at me like, seriously, you forgot your mother tongue? Like, what? Why would you? You're just the worst. And I'm like, I'm not, bro. And it's just the strangest thing. But we have a responsibility to not act like the world because we're not from it. So what do the scriptures tell us about that? And the scriptures tell us that Jesus says that I need you guys to be like me in this world. Like the only way this kingdom of God is going to come into the empires of this earth is through us. That's why Jesus prays this. He says, he says, if you were to give your allegiance to the world, they would love and welcome you as their own. But because you won't align yourself with the values of this world, they will hate you. He says, but I have chosen you and taken you out of the world to be mine. And what is he saying here? He's saying, if you want to just pretend like you're just part of the world, just act like it. Just act like it. Just be that. And you know, if you've ever wondered why sometimes people are so frustrated with Christians, and so they call us hypocrites sometimes, and I'm assuming for just a minute that we're all followers of Jesus here. But the reason why is because we confuse them. We just confuse them. Because we say something and we act the opposite. And they're like, I thought. It's better just not say it. Like, there are some people I'm like, dude, do not have a Mosaic bumper sticker in your car. You drive like Satan. You do. Running from the cops. Like, what are you doing? Don't do it, man. You have road rage, take that sticker off. Please. You know what I'm saying? Just don't do that. You know, if you're pretending, don't do that. Don't don't do that. It's easy. See, the thing is, we have this responsibility to be the most loving people, the most forgiving people, the most accepting people, the most caring people, the most generous people in this world. That is our responsibility. You're like, no, that's our responsibility. That's our responsibility. That's it. Then John, check this out. He says this, John 17 says this. He says, I've given them your message. This is Jesus praying. He's talking to God, right? And he says this. He says, he prays to God. He says, hey, I've given them your message, and that is why the unbelieving world hates them. For their alliance is no longer to this world, because I am not of this world. I'm not asking that you remove them from the world. So here, there's a moment where Jesus is praying. He's talking to God about us. And he says, here's what I'm saying. I don't want you to remove them. I don't want you to remove them. But I ask you that you guard their hearts from evil. For they no longer belong to this world any more than what? I do. Your word is truth. So make them holy by the truth. I have commissioned them to represent me just as you commissioned me to what? Represent you. To represent you. So, what does this mean? What does it mean? This means, friends, we have rights. We have this grace given to us. This freedom given to us. And then we have a responsibility to live like Jesus, to liberate just like Jesus. Friends, if you believe that God has set you free, it's not just for your freedom, but it's for other people's freedom as well, that God sets you free, that you and I are supposed to represent him. So in the middle of this, what would it look like for us to believe that we are not of this world and we don't have to act like it? We don't have to act like it. We don't have to succumb to it. And how do we live our lives going, okay, there is a world and out there, and I don't want to be the enemy of the world. I'm just saying that there is a different kind set of values of this world that are not in line with God. Because, again, the values of the world is trying to get you to the top, and Jesus is trying to make you rappel down. It's just the opposite. So that's why Jesus' teaching didn't make any sense, because he would say things and people were like, no, you can't forgive like that. No, you can't do this. No, you can't do that. You can't be that generous. You can't do this. You can't do that. Because he was just the opposite, the upside down kingdom of God. But yet that's what it is. That is, what is it? What it is. So I want to end with this one thought. See, if you and I don't pay attention to this, you won't realize what's happening. Do you know, and you guys know this, you know, like, sometimes you'll just think about, I probably need to get some filters for the house. And then all of a sudden, Instagram says, you want to buy filters? Has anybody had that idea? I'm like, whoo. If only Jesus and God worked like that. You know what I'm saying? But how does Amazon or whoever know what I'm thinking about and what I want and what I don't want? And sometimes I've realized, I've stopped, I'm on social media. So I got social media and I haven't seen a friend of mine's post in forever. I'm like, where is this person? Are they still alive? I just texted a buddy of mine the other day. You still alive? He's like, yeah, I am. I'm like, you're not on social media. You must be dead. You know, like the problem is that there are these algorithms. Have you heard of these things? You guys know that, right? And social media is based on an algorithm. And these algorithms are made for you, or people like us, And I'm not saying there's a sinister plan on this, because I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I will tell you this, that these algorithms will tell you what to care about and how to live. And if you and I don't know, are not aware of this, whatever we find on media, whatever we intake, whatever that is on TikTok, on Instagram, on Facebook, even on MySpace. They're like, MySpace? That was a thing, guys. It was a short thing, but it was a thing. But all these are based on algorithms. So here's my question. We either live a life allowing an algorithm to define it, or we understand that there is an algorithm that we have to come against. And that will take us going, hey, we got to do something different. And so here's my goal. Here's my prayer, that we would not define, not allow the algorithms of the world, the politicians of the world, the policies of the world, the culture of the world, whatever this kingdom is. And there's beautiful things in the world, by the way. But we're not from here. We can enjoy the things, but we're not from here. We're resident what? Aliens. So let me pray for us. Can I do that? Let's stand together. Lord God, thank you for this morning, reminding us, God, that we're not from here. We're not from here. And even though we love it, we want to be from there, from here, but we're not. We're not. We weren't even created for this world. We were created and born into it. But it does not claim us. It does not claim us, but you do. So God, I pray, remind us of that this morning. As we sing this last song, for some of us, allow us to give up this anxiety and fear of the future that we've been holding on to. God, for some of us, allow us to maybe go to the cross and just put all the anxious thoughts of the future on the cross. Some of us, God, allow us to go receive communion, reminding us that you're the God who sustains us. It's not the economy. It's you. And others of us, God, maybe we need to light a candle, reminding us that prayer still works and you're still listening. God, allow us to respond to you.